The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org.
You're listening to KUCI 88.9 in Irvine. Hi, you're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Tina Spindler, University of California Master Gardener, and I'm here today bringing you In the Garden, our new radio show that will cover lots of fun gardening topics. We're really fortunate today to have one of Orange County's leading nursery people here for an interview with us, Gary Matsuoka. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Gary is going to talk with us today about bare root planting. We're coming up upon the season as the winter gets here when it's time to plant things bare root. So before we get started talking about that, though, let's find out a little bit more about Gary. Gary, can you tell me a little bit about your background in horticulture and the nursery business?
Well, I am a rarity these days. My father was a nurseryman before I was, so I'm a second-generation nurseryman. He came out of the San Gabriel Valley, grew up with or started his business alongside of Hines in Monrovia, knew those guys over there, but moved to Orange County in the 1960s. And after I graduated high school, I joined the nursery and been working there pretty much full-time since.
It's great, and a great nursery. I know I used to go to your old location in Laguna Hills, and now you have a new location. It's still called Laguna Hills Nursery, though, right?
Right. Even though we're in Santa Ana, we keep our name.
Yeah, that's awesome. I haven't been to the new location yet, but I'm really looking forward to it. I'm glad that you guys are there. So the specialty of planting bare root is something I think some folks have gotten out of the habit of doing, but I know I personally think it's a great way to get plants started. So can you just explain to our audience a little bit about what bare root planting means?
Well, yes, during the dormant period of the plants, mostly in winter time or winter into early spring, the plants aren't growing at that time, and you can actually dig them out of the ground without carrying along the soil that they were growing with, making the transport a lot easier to handle. Because they're sleeping, you don't have to watch out for their daily needs at that point. And you can take them home, plant them in the ground, and they wake up and get going.
So the growers who grow these things, grow them, they have this great growth cycle during the warm months, and then when they go into their dormancy, the growers dig them up, take all of the dirt off of their roots, and then ship them in that state?
Yeah, they actually plow them out of the ground. Fortunately, most of the growers are in the southern Central Valley, and during that season when they grow up, they pull them out of the ground, they have a lot of tule fog. Mm. So the their conditions are fine too. They can plow them out of the ground, gather them up, they'll stay moist. Then they put them in large boxes, or in some cases just pile them up in a warehouse under cool conditions so they actually refrigerate them.
Oh, wow. Cool. Literally cool. So the two kinds of bare root plants I'm familiar with that we have planted before in my garden are roses. I've purchased those bare root from your nursery for many years. And then also fruit trees. Is that correct? Are those the two main classes of plants you would say that you plant bare root?
Well, we actually handle a lot of berries also.
Oh, what kind of berries?
Strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, boysenberries, and then rhubarb plants, onions. There's a few things that we do bare root.
And are all of those available kind of at the same time of year? And when would that be?
During the dormant period. So between mid-fall and early spring is usually the time that we have them available.
Okay. So let's talk about them just briefly, kind of one at a time. So for the berries, like strawberries, for instance, I know everybody loves to grow strawberries. What time of year would you have bare root strawberries available?
Those are actually available from around the end of November too close to spring. It depends on the type of strawberry and the supplier. Some suppliers have their product for the winter season or the fall and winter planting season. Some actually wait until spring to sell their berries.
Okay. So. And what's the, is there an advantage to planting strawberries from bare root plants rather than from six packs?
The main advantage would be size. The six packs, they have to cut off about 80% of the root to get them into a six pack because the roots tend to be, in some cases, 6 to even 10 inches long.
Wow.
And the plants are too big to put in six packs also. So you get a much larger plant to start with. They've already been chilled by the grower in the refrigerator. So they've been through their winter. And if you plant them in the fall, they'll go right into their spring bearing period.
Which must be what commercial growers do, because I've noticed that commercial growers always have strawberries before I have strawberries when I plant them from six packs. Is that why?
In Southern California, they have that advantage. Northern California, they don't bother because they can't get the early market. But in Southern California, because they can start harvesting before Christmas, that's and the only place in the United States where that happens. So
wow.
They get the most money.
Wow. And, of course, the early harvest is a premium for them
right.
from a sales standpoint. Yeah. Okay, so that takes care of strawberries. I'm going to get bare root ones this year and have those nice long roots. And then you talked about the other berries, cane berries.
Blackberries, boysenberries, raspberries, also available at that time.
Okay, so end of November into December, mm-hmm. even through spring, bare root or kind of just earlier?
Into winter, they start growing and then they're harder to handle bare root. But same reasoning, the root systems on a lot of our bare root berries are over a foot long.
Wow.
And you'd have to buy them in a 5-gallon container later on if you wanted to get the same quality.
Wow. And so, of course, that would be significantly more expensive than
right.
a bare root plant. What's the difference, like on a percentage basis? Is it like double to have it in a 5-gallon pot from a purchaser standpoint? Would you pay double or what's kind of the order of magnitude?
It's about triple.
About triple. So you can buy 3 times as many bare root berries as you could 1 5-gallon berry.
Container, right.
Yeah. Wow. That's significant, especially if you have a big yard. Yeah. Okay, so moving on from berries, how about fruit trees? Do you have a large selection of fruit trees that are available bare root, and what time are they usually available?
Right, we usually carry about 40 or 50 varieties of our cultivars of fruit trees. The deciduous fruit trees like the stone fruit, apricots, peaches, nectarines, plums, pluots, apriums, and then we do the apples and the pears, jujube, and a few of the nut trees also.
Wow, so you have quite a variety. Some of our listeners might not be familiar with pluots and apriums. Can you describe what those are?
Yeah, the breeders, and they don't do this using GMO technique, but using normal breeding technique, they cross totally different fruits together. And the pluots happen to be plums with apricots, but more plum than apricot. So apparently they crossed them once to get a plum cod and then crossed them back with plums again to get the pluot.
Ah.
So a pluot ends up being 3/4 plum and 1/4 apricot, and the apriums are the opposite. They're about 3/4 apricot and 1/4 plum, but they have other things too. They have nectoplums, nectarine and plum crosses, pluary, which is a plum cherry peach cross. And I think there's one other thing in there, too.
Wow.
Piacotum, peach, apricot, and a few other things.
Wow. So it's kind of like a mutt that you might adopt in a dog.
Right.
All different kinds of breeds mixed together, huh?
But yeah.
But I assume that they've done taste tests and that these varieties must be palatable.
Generally, if they introduce them to the homeowner trade, it's because they've already proven that they're taste-worthy.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't introduce anything that's nasty. Now, the problems we have down here, of course, is that things in Orange County may not taste the same as things grown in Bakersfield. It's much hotter there more of the year. So that's one problem we have. Sometimes we'll get something in that tastes great up there, but may not taste good down here. Plus, we also have to worry about a chill requirement on the fruit trees. We definitely don't have a as cool a winter as they have in the northern parts.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I know that a lot of people are not aware that they do have to be careful what fruit tree varieties they buy, because we don't have a lot of winter chill. And so some of these deciduous trees will not produce well without that winter chill. So can you explain a little bit more about what winter chill means?
Well, it was apparently nature came up with it, because there's a lot of trees, of these fruit trees, that evolved in climates similar to Georgia, Tennessee, where you can have a cold winter, but it can get interrupted by a spell of hot weather, and the trees had to come up with some way to avoid waking up too early during one of the midwinter heat spells, because if they woke up, started blooming in December, and then we had a chill or frost on them in January and it ruined the blossoms, that would be it for them for that year. They wouldn't have a crop.
Oh, yeah.
So that those trees had to evolve a mechanism, and apparently it's in the flower bud itself, where they have to be exposed to so many cumulative hours of temperatures below, I believe some of the research shows it's below 57 and above 33.
Okay.
To then complete their development and then start blooming with the next warm spell after that. Now, we know that a lot of the fruit trees that evolved far north or in climates that don't have that did not ever evolve a chill response, a minimum chill response. At this point, we pretty much feel that persimmons, jujubes, mulberries, figs, and pomegranates do not need winter chill. And some fruit trees haven't evolved a way around it. Apples seem to have a winter chill, but if they don't get it, they produce anyway.
Wow, interesting. Sounds complicated, but I assume that in your experience, what you do to solve this problem for all of us is that your nursery carries the varieties that are appropriate for our area. Is that a safe thing to say?
Yeah, you can always say 90% of what we have has been tried and true or tested in this area, although we always bring something new and we want to try. So
sure, that's fun.
And everybody wants to try it too. A lot of our customers are just as inquisitive, so they want to get all the ones that are not supposed to grow here also.
How funny. So. Yeah. So let's talk then about the decorative landscape plant that everyone loves, that you can plant bare root, and that's roses. And so can you tell us a little bit about roses as a bare root plant? Most of us these days don't have the opportunity to do that, because I notice a lot of nurseries aren't selling bare root as much. You usually find them in the peat pots and so on.
In fact, the bare root rose industry is shrinking very quickly. Most of the modern roses are being grown exclusively in containers now. There are still some large companies like the ones we use that still grow roses in the ground and to sell as bare root, but it is shrinking.
And do you still think there's an advantage to planting roses bare root?
The main thing is the plants are quite large when we get them. So bare root roses are usually 2 or 3 years old when we get them, whereas plants in containers tend to be younger. So you can certainly get a quicker response. You can get by the second bloom of this plant, it'll look like a fully mature plant.
Oh, wow.
Whereas something from a container may take 2 or 3 years to get to the same point.
And I assume the same case is true for roses, that buying a rose bare root versus one in a container is less expensive? Or is that not necessarily
not
true?
Not necessarily true.
No?
Small, because the roses are being grown in smaller and smaller pots. But the equivalent size of a bare root rose would probably be something in a 15-gallon container.
Wow. So you might be spending the same amount, but you're getting a much larger plant.
Right.
So more bang for your buck.
Because a lot of the bare root roses we get, the roots will not fit in a 5-gallon bucket unless they're pruned severely.
Wow.
So.
And so when you get when you see at some of the big box retailers, I notice you do still occasionally see some roses that are wrapped, you know, in plastic and being sold as bare roots. So have their roots then probably been pruned significantly to get them into those packages?
Yeah, to get a rose in a package, they have to be able to pass through a ring. They have a metal ring that's maybe 3 inches in diameter, and the rose has to be able to pass entirely through that to get into the bag. Whereas the ones we sell, sometimes they can't fit in a 5-gallon bucket. So big difference. There's different grades, of course. But even if you have a grade number one, which is the best grade out there, there are significant differences between the largest and the smallest grade number ones.
Okay. But a grade number one, just for our listeners who might be out there shopping, if they want a good plant, should be looking probably for a grade number one.
Grade number one is pretty minor. I mean, it is kind of the low end of it. Grade number one means that there's at least 3 stems on the plant that are the thickness of a pencil.
Okay.
And that's like something we don't even want to sell. We'd rather sell a plant with 5 stems that are as big as your fingers.
Wow. And so what are those called?
Called grade number one.
Oh, so there's just a huge variance in the grade number one.
Right.
Wow. Interesting. So if you were telling people what to look for, even though it's labeled grade number one, they should look for as many strong branches and thicker branches.
Right. We like to see nice symmetry and no branch off branch, just branches starting from the crown of the plant. But yeah, they had to put, the grade one is probably kind of relaxed just because there's growers in Minnesota that can't grow a rose anything like is grown in California.
Ah.
So they have to give them a grade one for a smaller plant.
I see. Gotta love California. We we have the best climate. We get to grow the best plants, huh? Okay, well, now that we have a little bit of an understanding of why to plant bare root, you know, what they look like, the benefit of the size of these plants versus buying plants in containers, can you tell us a little bit about how to plant each of these categories of plants? So let's start with strawberries when we buy them bare root. What's the process for planting them?
Well, strawberries do like good drainage better than most plants. So if you have good soil, pretty much you can just stick them in the soil as is. But if your soil drains poorly, if you've got anything that resembles clay, then you've got to raise them up. Now, you don't have to modify the soil. Otherwise, you can just raise it. So on some farms in California, we've seen in clay soil areas where they do strawberries, they actually have the berms, ridges, and I don't know what you call that system, but they've got the strawberries planted 3 feet higher than the surrounding soil.
Wow. So they just grade the native soil so that they end up with these 3-foot high kind of plateaus, right?
Whenever you raise the soil, the drainage is improved, and in some areas it has to be 3 foot. In Irvine here, most of the farms raise about 18 inches. That's all they have to raise to get that really perfect drainage that strawberry needs. But we've seen some farms on the Central Coast where when the kids go out and play in the field, they disappear.
Oh my gosh.
So it's 3 foot deep in heavy clay.
Wow.
So
so that's the good news, though. Even though most of Irvine and Orange County has clay soil, we can still grow strawberries that need good drainage as long as we make these higher.
Right. Now, if you don't want to go
rows
through that work, because it is a bit of work, they love pure sand.
Really?
Strawberries, absolutely fabulous growers in sand.
So our folks at the beach can grow strawberries in their sandy soil, huh?
Yeah, if it's not too salty, they'll do fine.
Okay, so it's the salt at the beach that would be an issue.
Right.
Yeah.
But strawberries aren't the most sensitive to salt, so you're probably okay.
Okay. And then for those of us who don't want to go through the labor-intensive process of building these rows or mounds that are 18 inches tall, we can do raised beds, right? Plant strawberries in raised beds
and in containers.
Okay, great. Cool. Okay, so moving on from strawberries, let's talk about the caneberries briefly, how to plant those.
Well, most of those are a lot easier to grow than strawberries. They just need moisture and sunlight. Most of the caneberries, you have to have at least 2/3 a day of sun. So that's your prime thing, is to get them in the right spot. If they have half a day or less, they're not going to ever sweeten out for you.
Okay.
Just because they ripen so suddenly, if they're not in full sun, they just don't have time to get sweet.
Okay, so choose the sunniest location you have in your yard and make sure that 2/3 of the day they're getting
Right.
sun. I assume our soil must be okay. After all, Knott's Berry Farm became famous for boysenberries, right? So Orange County is a berry growing area.
Well, they do like the riverbeds the best, which is usually the sandier soil. However, the soil quality doesn't seem to slow them down. It's mainly the sunlight
Okay.
and water, ample sunlight, and you're good.
Okay, good. Do they have to be planted? Do you have to dig deeply to plant them? What's generally the size of a hole that you need to dig for
Well,
those?
when you get a bare root berry plant of the caneberry types, usually they're planted about an inch deeper than they were originally. So you bury the green stem about an inch,
Okay.
cut the stems down to about 6 inches in length. It's not critical, but it's recommended. And then spread the roots out. Generally, the holes you dig won't be deeper than 1 foot.
Oh,
Even
I
though
like that.
sometimes roots are longer than that, but spread them sideways. Plant roots just don't grow deeper than 1 foot.
Okay. So a wider hole where you can spread them out,
Right.
but not deep.
Yeah, if they get too far underground, they suffocate. They actually
Okay.
have to breathe.
Oh, good to know, because I hate to dig deep holes, so that's good news. Okay, so then moving on to fruit trees. Here, I assume we need to be pretty careful about how we prepare the hole for this fruit tree, since it's a very long-lived plant and we want it to be happy in its location. So, can you take us through that
Well,
process?
again, the sun exposure is prime. The trees that ripen the quickest have to be in the most sun. So your peaches, your stone fruit in general, should be in most sun, although most of them ripen mid-year. So what we're finding is that even if you have a north-facing yard or north spot for your fruit tree, if it's ripening in June, it's going to get a full day of sun even on the north side of the house. If it's ripening in winter, you don't want to have it on the north side of the house. But most of our fruit trees do ripen, or at least our bare root fruit trees do ripen mid-year. So you can almost plant them any place in your yard as long as there's nothing above them. They usually get enough sun to get sweet.
Oh, cool.
And most of them aren't as picky about the soil as you might think. We do carry a lot of the fruit trees on a rootstock called Citation rootstock, which is prefers clay over sandy soil.
Yay.
So we do sell a lot of plants on Citation rootstock. Some companies label that Citation rootstock as being a semi-dwarf, but its main purpose here is to handle the clay so well.
Okay, and just in case our listeners don't know what that means, most of these fruit trees, probably all, are grafted fruit trees, which means the roots come from one tree and the fruit bearing part of the tree comes from another tree, and they are grafted together. And the reason that's done is because you have roots that will accommodate certain conditions, correct?
Right, so in sandy soils, we usually use one rootstock that withstands drier conditions and possible nematode problems. And for trees in clay soil, then we use a different one to accommodate the clay.
Very cool. Okay, and then quickly, just a real quick description of how to plant a bare root rose.
Well, you make a hole large enough to accommodate the roots. Roses aren't picky about the soil quality at all, so we just tell you make a hole wide enough to accommodate the roots. Try to make it about the same shape so you don't have to bend the roots too much to get them in. Now, if you do have to cut a root off that's unusually long or funny shaped, I would tell you to cut it the day before you plant it. We don't like to see the term is
Kind of
open
an
wounds.
open wound. There you
We
go.
don't want to
Yeah.
see open wounds on roots in contact with soil because they often pick up bacterial cankers that way.
Ah.
So we found that when we used to plant roses, immediately after we pruned the roots, they would often pick up bacterial cankers on the roots and the crown of the plant, whereas if we waited a day, they didn't.
Well, that's good to know. I had never heard that before, and I'm guilty of cutting off roots and sticking them right in the ground, so that's good for me to know. From here on out, I cut them the day before. Well, I wanted to leave enough time at the end because you've given us so much information today. That's awesome, but I know a lot of our listeners are new to bare root planting and might have more questions for you and also other general gardening questions. And I know you guys have some free classes that you hold at your nursery. Is that correct?
That is right. We are starting up our Saturday morning classes at our store in Santa Ana.
Great. And can you give us the address of the store?
It's 1829 North Tustin Avenue in Santa Ana. It's near the 55 freeway at 17th Street.
Okay. And it's still called Laguna Hills Nursery, even right. though it's in Santa Ana. And I know that you and your staff have just a wealth of knowledge. I know when I need to find out about fruit trees or blueberries was the other thing you have taught me a lot about, and we didn't have a chance to talk about those today, but I hope you'll come back and be on the show with us again so that we can pick your brain and get more info.
Would love to.
Great. Thanks so much for coming, Gary.
Thank you.
If you have any questions about today's show, or if you have any general gardening questions that you'd like a personalized answer for, please feel free to visit our hotline and send us an email at hotline@uccemg.com. You can also visit the Master Gardener website at www.uccemg.com for lots of good information on gardening and also a schedule of events where we'll be speaking.